It's just a regular part of life to take stock once in a while and figure out what's working and what isn't and look for ways to improve. People and organizations do it all the time. The Rogue Valley is doing it now through something called the Self-Healing Communities Initiative. We've talked a bit about this recently. The basic idea is to develop a resilience and an ability to work through adversity to make communities where people get educations, get jobs, and become productive members of society. An organization called Southern Oregon Success is at the heart of the effort. Peter Buckley is the co-manager for Southern Oregon Success of the Self-Healing Communities Initiative. If the name sounds familiar, he's also not quite retired yet as an Oregon State Representative from Ashland. Peter, good to see you in the chair again.
It's great to be here.
So to the basics, how did Southern Oregon Success form up in the first place? How did this all come together?
Well, it's a somewhat long story. I'll try to make it as short as possible. At the same time that we were developing the coordinated care organization model for delivery of health care through the Oregon Health Plan, Senator Bates was central to that work. And the whole idea behind the CCOs was go upstream as much as possible, have some flexibility, try to really address the social determinants of health, things like poverty, hunger, homelessness, the things that actually can impact families. The Governor Kitzhaber also was pushing at the time for every region to have what was called a regional achievement collaborative, which was basically an agreement around across sectors to collaborate. Healthcare collaborating with education, collaborating with public safety and workforce development. So in 2011, about 100 different organizations here in the Rogue Valley signed a declaration of cooperation, just basically saying we are going to collaborate. We're going to do everything we can for kids and families. And as it's evolved over the years, the organization has put together some initiatives, some conferences. As I'm leaving the legislature, the organization decided they need to actually to hire a couple people to actually drive this work across sectors. And so Southern Oregon Success is a collaboration of collaborations, all level of education, healthcare, mental health care, public safety, workforce development, and doing that work in a collaborative manner and working with the coordinated care organizations in particular, we started to move into the area of the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. I think, the most important public health study of our generation, if not all time, and the information it gives us in terms of what are the root causes of a lot of the problems that you were discussing in your last segment that kind of fuel that school-to-prison pipeline. What are the root causes of poverty, of sickness, of the negative outcomes that we see? And the Adverse Childhood Experience Study gives us those root causes, and there are communities around the country that have engaged in a kind of community-wide awareness campaign and then a kind of strategy of how do you put in place practices that are trauma-informed. And I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, Jeff. Trauma-informed just means that you're informed of the impact of trauma as defined by the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. So there's a lot of information right in one answer.
But adverse childhood experiences and trauma informed, the trauma is the adverse childhood experience,
correct?
Right? So they're essentially an interlocking kind of thing there.
Yeah.
When the legislature, what kind of legislation prompted the regional achievement collaboratives?
It was around the same time we're putting together the CCOs, and we have a program in the state called Oregon Solutions, and there's a regional part. Every part of the state has its own regional Oregon Solutions component. So the idea was that you would be able to convene people across sectors to get things done. So the state, the regional achievement collaboratives are tremendously well funded by the state. There's just a little seed money.
I was going to ask how well funded.
The idea is put a little seed money in, get those conversations going, get that collaborative work going. Our coordinating care organizations, All Care, Jackson Care Connect, Primary Health, all three of them in our region cooperate very well, collaborate very well, and they're all very supportive of this work that we're doing.
So where are some of the first steps you take? I mean, if you're looking to find the root causes, I mean, I assume you know some of these already.
Oh, absolutely. The ACE study was done in the 1990s. It was a study of over 17,000 people in the study. So it's the most detailed study of its kind. They had access to health records for all these people, and they were able to survey all these patients and find out, did the following traumatic events happened to you before the age of 18. That's basically what the ACE survey says. There's 10 questions, emotional neglect, physical neglect, sexual abuse, physical abuse, dysfunctional household, like drug addiction in the household, mental illness in the household, incarceration, alcoholism, domestic violence. So from that survey, they went and back-checked the 17,000 medical records, and they said, wow, people who had 3, 4, 5 different of these experiences, they tended to have health outcomes that led to early death in many cases. They tend, their education outcomes were different, and their social outcomes were different. So that was kind of the key of looking at that. So we have examples around the country. Walla Walla, Washington is the primary example, because they've been at this for over a decade now. And what they did was they began with a public awareness campaign, which is what we're doing now here in the Rogue Valley, is making sure people understand, read the ACE study, read about it, figure out what this impact is, think about your own life and your own parenting and your own family and how things work in that regard, and then start to take it to its next steps. Phoenix Talent School District, right here in our region, is one of the leading school districts in the state in moving into these trauma-informed approaches in their school. They've changed their discipline policy. If the question changes from what's wrong with you to what happened to you, then something like expelling a kid makes no sense. Even suspensions don't make sense. Kids do well if they can. If they're not doing well, there's a reason behind it. So Phoenix Talent basically said, we're not going to expel any more kids. They haven't expelled a student in 3 years. They work with kids in a trauma-informed way, and they're getting really good results.
In that particular situation that you mentioned, though, with Phoenix Talent Schools, it's not like they're in a position, I imagine, to fix what has gone wrong in that kid's past. So then, where does it move? I mean, what other resources can they bring into the question?
So what's really cool about this, Jeff, is that there's a whole line of science in there. The whole science of how the brain develops, the neurobiology. There's the epigenetics of the intergenerational transfer of the impact of trauma. There's the ACEs study, and there's resilience. And resilience is a really very documented branch of science as well. It answers the question of why. Why do some people experience a great deal of adversity yet still find the way to have really successful lives? So in Phoenix Talent, for instance, they can't fix what happened to that child, but they can help build that child's resilience. And there's some strategies to do so. One that the Phoenix Talent is using in the first grade classroom, for instance, is called the Good Behavior Game. They're teaching kids how to self-regulate. Kids who have grown up with a lot of trauma, they've got that fight or flight type of reaction to almost everything. They can't sit still. They can't pay attention. This game's been developed over 2 decades, and it strategically teaches kids in a very fun way how to self-regulate. They introduced this in March of last year. By the time school ended in all their first grade classrooms, the number of classroom disruptions went down by 66% on the average in their first grade classrooms, because they're teaching kids the lagging skills that they didn't have due to the adversity that they faced.
Peter Buckley, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the co-manager of the Self-Healing Communities Initiative. He works for Southern Oregon Success out of the Southern Oregon Education Service District office. You can join us as we talk about self-healing communities and what that means and about trauma-informed approaches. 800-838-3760 to join in by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. I want to come back when we were talking about the essentially a checklist. You know, did these things happen to you as a child? How strong are the correlations? Is it the kind of thing you can look at the data and go, oh, well, it kind of happens here and it kind of doesn't happen here? Or is it rather stark?
It's pretty stark. And again, it's really important that this is a public health study, so it's not like a diagnosis. If you have an ACE score of 6, it doesn't mean that these health outcomes are going to happen. It's just that the percentage of people with those ACE scores have this sort of, it's attributable to their ACE scores. I've met, doing this work now for the past 6 months, I've met many people that have ACE scores of 8, 9, 10 who are very successful and healthy people because they found those ways to resilience to have the healthy and successful lives. But as a kind of root cause and an indicator that we can work with, it's really monumental. This is somewhat, I compare this almost to the climate change science. 20 years ago, people were just starting to kind of really figure out climate change. Some people were way ahead of others, of course. The same thing's happening here with trauma. The way the science behind the brain development and the science behind adverse childhood experiences and the science behind resilience has grown up over the past 20 years now, to the point where it is a movement now. 24 states have programs like the one that we're working here in Southern Oregon. People are starting to see that this is a root cause. It has to be addressed. And when we address it, we get really remarkable results. In Walla Walla, for instance, in the past 10 years, they've seen their teen suicide rates go down by 98%. It's very rare to see a teen suicide in Walla Walla now. Their graduation rates have gone up by over 42% in 10 years. Teen pregnancy is down. Alcoholism is down. Mental health illness is down. So it's a remarkable, effective approach to the root causes.
How quickly did Walla Walla, for example, change things, though? I mean, in terms of approaches in classroom, approaches in mental health, approaches in public safety?
It's taken them, in fact, they started 12 years ago to start to get these results. There's a documentary called Paper Tigers, which shows the alternative high school in Walla Walla and shows the experiences of bringing these approaches into a really challenging student population. From the high school, the community started to pay attention. The state of Washington was very supportive. This was prior to the recession. They funded these programs and got additional counseling, got additional things into the community. And they've seen really good results. And we're prime here in Southern Oregon. We have good working relationships with education, healthcare, public safety. We have a lot of people speaking the same vocabulary now and taking the same approach.
So you're talking at least at this point, but it sounds like you're where Walla Walla was 12 years ago in identifying how to move ahead.
Correct.
There some specific steps indicated now, and would they involve education? Would they involve mental health? Would they involve law enforcement?
Yes to all of those.
Okay.
in fact, the Jackson County Court System is a trauma-informed court system. Their staff has been trained now, their employees, into what trauma-informed approaches are and what trauma does. We're working with Department of Human Services. We're working with OnTrack and the ARC. We're working with all the human service agencies. But in particular, the school districts, every school district in Jackson and Josephine County is looking at what Phoenix Town is doing. Every school district wants to move into trauma-informed approaches. We're working with Southern Oregon University on a federal grant proposal to bring trauma-informed approaches to every district in Jackson and Josephine County over the next 4 years.
So let's talk about how it manifests itself in the courts. You mentioned that the courts are now,
sure.
Is everybody trained? I mean, even the people who deal with people at the window, are they
yes.
trained in trauma-informed approaches?
All their staff get the training, the base training in ACEs. And we're doing the same thing, too, like with Rogue Community Health. I'm doing a luncheon for them today, a fundraiser for Rogue Community Health. They're a key partner in this work. We did a training for all of their employees, including the receptionists, including everybody who works in a lab or anywhere. It's important to have it be understood kind of as a cultural shift. It needs to be a cultural shift. Working with the DHS employees, for instance, their child welfare workers, one of them said, wow, after getting the information, she said, I never tell families what they're going to experience when they walk in the courthouse. I never tell them they're going to go through a metal detector. They're going to go up in an elevator to a room full of stressed out people. And just having the information about what trauma does to people, she's changing the way she practices in order to try to help people get through very tough times.
Peter Buckley, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is with Southern Oregon Success, where he's the co-manager for the Self-Healing Communities Initiative, which does take a trauma-informed approach to helping society do things a little better. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm curious if you got much pushback thus far, if people think that trying to find out what traumas people have in their backgrounds or what their adverse childhood experiences is,
right.
If you get some people thinking, oh, come on, dry it up, you big babies, and just
oh, yeah,
on.
You do. In fact, there's a whole, kind of even philosophy, the whole zero tolerance idea in school discipline. There are still many people who believe that zero tolerance is the way to go, that our problem is that we just haven't been tough enough with kids. With the trauma-informed approach doesn't say there's not consequences for actions. There are consequences for actions. The trauma-informed approach just simply means let's pay attention to what's going on. You don't have to go back and find out what happened to the kid. You don't have to, I'm going to go back and have a psychoanalysis of the kid. You basically have to say this kid is acting out. There's a reason that they're acting out. Let's de-escalate the situation, number one. Let's figure out what triggered the kid. Let's see if we can avoid those triggers in the future, and let's work with the kid. Restorative justice and collaborative problem solving are extremely valuable tools to use in this approach. And there are schools that are, again, I'll point to Phoenix Talent, the Medford School District.
Phoenix Talent is doing restorative justice.
Doing restorative justice. And Medford schools, a lot of the Medford schools are doing the collaborative problem solving and restorative justice. And it works. Kids who have been traumatized have had choice taken away from them. Restorative justice and collaborative problem solving puts the kid back in a situation where the kid is respected and the kid is given some ability to participate in and resolving the situation.
Rather than having it being done
to them
or
right.
away from the action.
Yep.
So you can certainly work on adjusting approaches now. I mean, is there any prevention component to this, trying to
yes.
prevent adverse childhood experiences in the first place?
Yeah, the huge effort. Resilience is exciting because it's something that we can do. We can all do it. We can all be part of it. But the prevention part of it is huge. We are going to we're doing classes. We're working with Head Start. They're one of our partners in this work. They have the ACEs classes for their parents so their parents understand it. What the experience, and we've done all the child care providers. We've been giving them those the ACEs training too. What they found in Walla Walla and other places is that when parents get this information, they change how they do things. So they understand, a lot of them, not across the board, but many of them will say, this is what has happened to me in my life. This is what I've experienced. I'm not going to let that happen in my child's life. Once they see what the information is and they see what the outcome is to trauma, they try to parent different. And we have to give supports. Grants Pass School District, for instance, has this wonderful program where they're teaching parents of infants and toddlers how to play with their kids. Because there are some parents who simply, they were never played with. They were brought up in very difficult circumstances, so they don't know how to play with their kids. So they're actually teaching these workshops, and here's how you play with your kid. Here's a game you can play. So,
is there or can there be a law enforcement component to this?
Well, actually, there is. It's interesting. I know Sheriff Corey Falls came to our main ACEs training in June that we did, so he's aware of this, and he's also he made some headlines recently when he talked about changing the culture of the sheriff's department to one of protector rather than warrior, and that's a trauma informed choice that he's making. He's also been instrumental in trying to change with the Oregon Sheriff's Association, changing the idea of possession of drugs being a felony, because that's again a punishment idea. Let's make it a felony. Let's try to punish our way through this problem. Rather, let's try to figure out, why are people taking drugs? Why is that happening? And can we go to the root cause of addiction instead of punishing addiction? So law enforcement is definitely part of this effort.
If people want to get involved with the health self-healing communities initiative, what can they do?
They can like Southern Oregon Success on Facebook. They can email me at peter_buckley@southernoregonsuccess.org. And our website will be up very soon. The Southern Oregon Success website will be up very soon, too, and they connect that way.
All right. I'll put the email in our web blurb to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. It's a fascinating stuff going on. It's the Self-Healing Communities Initiative, which Peter Buckley is the co-manager for Southern Oregon Success. He, of course, is still, for a few months more, an Oregon State Representative from Ashland. And what do you know? Involved with the state budget process intimately, too. Must be fun to get to drive the car in addition to pay for it.
It's a blast. It is a blast.
Peter, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
My pleasure.